The Sig Cross Bolt Action Rifle, this week on Mail Call Mondays. I'm John McQuay with 8541 Tactical, and this is Mail Call Mondays, the show that answers your questions about precision rifles, optics, and equipment. Welcome to the Mail Call Mondays, and this Monday we are going to talk about the Sig Cross Bolt Action Rifle that was just announced this last week. Now, obviously, I do not have one sitting in front of me. I don't work that fast. I was not on the short list of T&E samples from Sig. So, mainly what we're going to go over right now is the announced features, some of the comments that I've been seeing online, and what I think of the listed features on the overall rifle. Now, as I said, I've not gotten to shoot one yet. I have been in contact with Sig, and hopefully we will get behind one when we were down at the 2020 Shooting, Hunting, and Outdoor Trade Show next month. So I will actually have to wait until then to give you my hands-on experience with it. But looking down the feature set, it is a very, very interesting rifle. So let's hit the highlights first of all. Cross is a very interesting name, and as soon as I heard Cross, I thought, well, okay, Sig Sauer has Swiss roots. Swiss, the flag, has the white cross in the middle of it. So I kind of thought that made a little bit of sense. But Sig actually says that Cross is to kind of indicate that this is a cross-platform or cross-purpose type rifle. So it is initially designed as a hunting rifle that can also be used for precision rifle competition or precision rifle applications. So first they are trying to bring it out towards the hunting side of things because they are releasing it in a lighter weight package. So depending upon what barrel length and what caliber you are choosing, it's going to be between 6.5 and 6.8 pounds for the bare rifle out of the box. So that is a very light rifle as far as precision rifles are concerned. Hunting rifles, it's kind of in that spectrum for a precision hunting rifle. Now, they did a lot of really good things with this design. It seems like they didn't really try to build off of anything else. They just kind of went down and tried to build the best rifle that they could come up with because we're not using any receiver system bolted into a chassis or anything like that. The Sig actually uses a one-piece aluminum receiver. So that is receiver, all the mounting parts, the magazine well, all that is really combined into one piece of aluminum. It does have a 60-degree bolt lift, which I'm very happy to see. The old 90-degree bolt lift needs to be buried and go away. There's not a whole lot of reason to run it anymore. So 60-degree bolt lift is nice to see because we run these larger scopes. We can stay clear of that objective bell and allows you to get the scope mounted a little bit lower versus if you have a 90-degree throw and a large ocular or a large eyepiece on there. It is a three-lug design, and that kind of goes hand-in-hand with that 60-degree bolt throw. And they did make it with an interchangeable bolt handle, so kind of a smart idea on Sig's standpoint. Bolt knobs are like shift knobs in cars. Everybody's kind of got their own idea of what they like. And Sig making it an interchangeable bolt knob, of course, opens up the aftermarket and it opens up their ability to sell different components. You know, much like with their handguns, the P320, there are a wide variety of grip modules to fit everyone's hand. Well, this, you know, in the future, they may offer different bolt knobs for you, especially since they specifically called that out in the feature list. The stock is a folding adjustable stock, so you can adjust the length of pull, you can adjust the comb height. It looks like you may even be able to adjust the tilt of the butt pad, but I haven't seen a close enough picture to be able to see if you can do that or not. It is a push button folding stock, so it makes it very easy to fold the thing up, and it is a right side folder, so it looks like it folds over the bolt handle, which again, very nice right out of the box. As long as they can make it low profile and fit in scabbards much better, which seems to be what this was designed to do, then having that right folding stock reduces your overall thickness of the rifle. It also puts that hinge on the right-hand side so it gets it away from your face and away from your mouth. A lot of left-side folding rifles end up with that hinge right here when you're shooting as a right-handed shooter. Going down the feature list still, we have an M-Lock tubular handguard. So very nice that they went M-Lock instead of any of the other mounting profiles, or worse yet, a proprietary mounting style. I absolutely hate when chassis or rifle manufacturers go with their own proprietary tubular mounting style. Key-Mod or M-Lock really is the only way to go, and it looks like M-Lock is pretty much taking the lead on that. So that seems to be the industry standard. So thankfully, they went that route, so you can bolt all kinds of additional accessories on it. And additionally, because it is a full tubular handguard, then you have the ability to put a Picatinny rail up front to be able to use clip-on night vision, thermal, etc., all that fun stuff, or just a basic illuminator so you can hook a regular white light on there for night hunting. So again, very nice options there. We come down to the trigger. It is a two-stage trigger. They call it a match two-stage trigger. The adjustable pull weight on it is 2.5 pounds to 4 pounds. So I would have liked to have seen it go down lower, down into that 1 poundish range. Hopefully, when we actually get on it, because they don't break it up, hopefully it's something like a 1 pound first stage, 1.5 pound second stage, or something in that nature, so that that second stage break is a fairly light, fairly crisp break. I really, if it's going to be something that we're going to use in competition, I like to see lighter, 2.5 pounds. Some people on the hunting side of things will probably figure that that is too light, but 4 pounds on a hunting rifle, I think, is just fine. Again, a precision rifle for competition, I'd like to see a little bit lighter. I think for a law enforcement aspect, this is probably going to be about perfect in that good trigger pull range for use with gloves in cold weather. It does have an ambidextrous AR style safety, so you do have a selector that you can get at from either side. That's nice for me because I like to float my thumb, and hopefully the selector looks like it's in the right place to be able to drop my thumb on top of the selector. It also looks like it stands out far enough that I can run the bolt with my thumb planted on top of the selector. So we'll see how that works. Next, we have an AR-style pistol grip. Now, this isn't called out anywhere in there, but looking at the pictures, it definitely appears to be an AR-15-style pistol grip. Hopefully, that is the case, so you will be able to swap on whatever pistol grip you care to put on the rifle. There are a lot of varieties of AR pistol grips out there, and everybody that shoots precision rifle with an AR grip seems to have their favorite. So the ability to swap that out is a really, really nice thing. Then we get to the big one. SIG went with the AICS style magazines, which I think we have pretty much come to the point now where the AICS pattern is the standard for precision bolt action rifles. So if you are going to bring out a chassis system or you bring out a rifle, you really ought to bring it out with the AICS or the SR25 pattern. The AICS tends to favor more the precision rifle side of things. So that's really nice to see right out of the gate. We will have to actually get one in our hands to see if it will feed from AW magazines, the double stack mags, but it says AICS pattern, so it should work fine with those. And the pictures actually have it, they show it with a 5-round Magpul AICS magazine in it. Obviously, 10 rounds should not be a problem fitting them at all. I really want to see if it will work with accurate mags or the MDT high capacity magazines. So I really want to see how that works out. And lastly, the available calibers right off the bat is going to be 308, 6.5 Creedmoor, and the new 277 Fury. I don't know a lot about the 277 Fury. I have read a little bit about it so far. This seems to be, SIG took the 6.8 offering that they were using for a military contract for the solicitation on that, and then they switched it over a little bit to be able to use it in the civilian sector. And they use a hybrid case design on the 277 Fury, and it is claimed to get much higher pressure levels than a traditional traditional brass case. So they're claiming that they can launch a 6.8 bullet up to 3,000 foot per second. Of course, the problem is there's not a ton of high ballistic coefficient 6.8 bullet offerings out there. So as we go forward, we're going to have to see what the ammunition availability is on the 277 and what the real world performance is on that cartridge. I'm very excited to see it. If anything, it's going to push that 6.8 bullet offering a little bit wider. SIG, I think, has the horsepower to be able to do that. Obviously, SIG does have their own ammunition, so it's a great option to be able to expand those offerings. Finally, I'm happy that they did offer it in 308 and 6.5 Creedmoor. 308 is a very popular hunting cartridge. 6.5 Creedmoor is a very popular competition cartridge. Now, right now, the initial offerings are only 16-inch and 18-inch barrels, so they're not really designed for long-range precision, but the barrels do utilize a barrel extension for the headspace, so you should be able to get a barrel right in, drop it right into the system. It should headspace correctly and be good to go. I would assume, and this is just speculation on my part, that since SIG sells caliber conversion kits for the MCX, they sell them for the P320s, I would assume that for this rifle, at some point down the line, you will see caliber exchange kits for it, where you can purchase a SIG barrel and drop it right in and switch over to a different caliber. So I'll be really interested to see how they manage that. Once we actually get a T&E model in, hopefully we'll be able to pull it apart and inspect that barrel extension and see if it is something that is reusable, where you can pull it off, take it to your gunsmith, and get a new barrel spun up with that extension. If it is not, if it is permanently attached, then availability of the extensions is going to be a big question mark for guys that want to go to their own smith and get a heavyweight or a specialized barrel spun up. So we'll see when we get out to SHOT Show. I'm going to talk to a couple of the barrel manufacturers and see if they have any plans right now to have off-the-shelf barrels available for this rifle. So really excited to get on it. One of the speculations that I'm going to address here real quick is a lot of people online liken this to SIG copying The Fix by Q. Now, I really don't see it. For me, I've shot The Fix. I don't actually own one. Every time I have shot The Fix, I've come away from it just thinking, meh, just okay. I'm not bashing the rifle, so any of you guys that have it, don't burn up your keyboards with hate mail. This is a personal preference thing. I did not see anything about The Fix that really excited me over an Accuracy International or a TRG or anything else that is in that $4,000 price point. So really not a huge exciting thing for me. Now, some comparison here. The one-piece receiver, okay, that's kind of similar between the two. I don't know that that would necessarily mean that this is a copy of The Fix. The Fix has a 45-degree throw. The Cross has a 60-degree throw. So a little bit different there. The Fix uses SR25 magazines. The Cross uses AICS magazines. They both have two-stage triggers, but a lot of rifles out there have two-stage triggers. You either have a two-stage trigger or you have a single-stage trigger. If you don't have one of those, the rifle's probably broken. So that's kind of where you're at on that. As far as the reasons why these comparisons are being made, I think is the silhouette of the rifle. If you look at the silhouette of the Cross, it looks very much like the silhouette of the Fix, but you really can't hang your hat on that. If you look at the silhouette of a Savage Model 10, it kind of looks like the silhouette of a Remington 700. You can make that comparison with a ton of bolt-action rifles that are out there. Again, not really hanging my hat on that. I'm going to wait until we actually get out and see how the rifles work out in the real world. So, a little bit of a correction there. I said $4,000. The actual MSRP for the fix in the 308 version is $3,299. The Cross, the MSRP is $1,775, I believe. So we're looking at a quite a bit of a difference in the price between the two rifles on its own. So again, really interested to see the performance. Initial reports from gun writers that have actually gone out to a SIG event and tested the rifle say that it is well under submitted angle accuracy with SIG's ammunition. Once we get our hands on one, I will be really interested to see with off-the-shelf commercial ammunition, regular stuff that we run like the Hornady ELD match, what the actual accuracy is going to be on it. So, again, really interesting. I'm really excited to actually get my hands on this rifle. It does look like it takes some novel approaches to some different things. The barrel extension thing and how the barrel actually mounts into the rifle, if it uses a barrel nut or some kind of clamp system, that will really be interesting to see. And most importantly, how well SIG supports it after the initial launch. It's all well and good if you have an initial launch of a rifle and everything on the rifle works great, but then next year they make a pattern change and then there are no parts available for it. So we'll really have to see going forward how that works. Now, if the aftermarket supports it and you're able to get bolt handles and triggers and pistol grips and barrels spun up for it, new handguards, all that fun stuff that usually crops up to support a rifle. If the aftermarket grabs a hold of it, this ought to be a very, very interesting thing. There are still some things that I haven't seen yet, like what the MOA cant is of the integrated scope rail on the top of it. Since we are talking a one-piece action, I don't know how that rail is actually mounted on the top of the action, if it is part of the action, or if it is pinned and screwed on top of the action. If so, obviously you are stuck with whatever MOA it ships from, but with the 34mm main tube scopes that we are running right now, with the 308 or 6.5 Creedmoor, you're probably not going to have an elevation problem, even if it's a zero MOA rail. So that is my initial comments on the release of the SIG Cross rifle. But what I really want to hear from you guys is what your opinion is of the rifle. Do you like it? Are you excited for it? Are you saving your pennies for one, or is it just kind of meh and you're going to pass it on by? What do you guys want to know about the rifle when we go down and get hands-on at the SHOT Show? I really want to make sure that we are kicking out the videos that you guys want to watch. That's going to do it for this Mail Call Mondays. If you guys have any questions or comments over anything we've covered, drop it in the comments section down below or send it to us on Facebook or Twitter. If you like the video, please make sure you like, share, and subscribe, and click that little bell icon to be notified when we release new content. We still have one more Mail Call Mondays coming for 2019, but I want to say thank you guys for supporting us so far, and I hope you guys have a very Merry Christmas. Tomorrow is Christmas Eve. Unfortunately, I will be working the streets on Christmas Eve, but I actually get to spend Christmas with my family, and I really hope you guys get to spend Christmas with yours. So Merry Christmas, and until next time, get out and shoot!